Welcome back to the Balanced Pursuit podcast. For today's episode, I want to gear toward all the uncertainty in the world right now, because there's a lot happening and many people are messaging me about this. These are times when if you didn't really care about your finances, now you definitely should. Stock market crashing, economic uncertainty, rising costs, potential job market shifts. I mean, the list really goes on what people are speculating about. Please note, this is speculation. During COVID, it was a scary time for many people financially, and it became very obvious that being financially set up would help alleviate all of the financial strains that come along with that time. For me, this was a huge wake-up call, and I also realized that I never want to rely on just one income ever again because nothing is ever guaranteed. During that time, I also started a small candle business, and I started serving at a restaurant too. I tell you this because right now in Canada, we're quite fragile and I feel like many of us don't really know what's going on. We have a federal election later this year, tariffs from the US that keep being paused and then fully back on, and the cost of living just seems to keep rising. I mention these things because it's a very uncertain time and reality for us, but what's most important besides the federal election, of course, is that none of this is really under any of our control. So what I encourage you to focus on instead is what you can control during economic uncertainties and take control of that portion of your life so you're not at the mercy of anyone else. I'm making a few changes to my life, but not too much because I try my very best already to live well below my means. So with this, I'm going to dig into 7 smart money moves that I'm personally making to ensure that I'm in control of my own financial life. Something I'm focusing on right now is strengthening my financial stability. A part of this is boosting my emergency fund from 3 months worth of expenses to 6 months. This means I won't be as aggressive on my investments until I hit that goal. An emergency fund should cover all of your necessary expenses in 1 month, so in case anything were to happen, you can float instead of sink. 6 months will give me much more comfort, and it's something that I know will help with a bit of the uneasiness that I feel about everything that's going on in the world. I also think 6 months is an ideal amount, honestly, for self-employed people. I've just been super aggressive with my investing in the last year, so my emergency fund has taken a bit of a pause. I would also encourage people with kids or are homeowners to boost their emergency fund to at least 6 months. When it comes to storing this money, I keep it in a high interest savings account. I personally use Wealthsimple Cash and I get 2.5% APR, but it does start at 2% for core clients. Please note though, this interest rate does change depending on what is happening with the Bank of Canada. It's not really a good idea to have your emergency fund being invested because you want quick access to this cash without thinking if you're either up or down in returns. Another thing that I'm doing is limiting my want spending this year. I think this is a lot easier when you work from home because you don't have so much temptation around you. I feel like anytime I leave my house, I end up spending money. In February, I did have a low spend month and honestly, it was so nice. I really don't enjoy spending money on the regular as I would much rather save and spend it on something much bigger like a trip or quality pieces in my wardrobe that will last me years to come. I do have some more expensive months this year, like a wedding and a honeymoon. We're trying to debate if we're doing a honeymoon either this year or early next year, but we'll see. But besides that, I really need to keep my spending at a minimum this year. An easy way to see where you can cut some of your spending is by identifying your needs versus wants in your budget. When you get to that wants section, really figure out what are the things that you really enjoy and what are the things that really bring value in your life on a regular basis. It's okay to spend your money, but be intentional about it. If you want to figure out what it is that you would really like to keep in your budget versus not, try to do a low spend month and only allow yourself to spend money in certain areas and see how that makes you feel. I do this a few times a year and it's honestly such a nice money reset and it helps me get back in tune with my finances. The third thing that I'm doing to strengthen my financial stability is by exploring ways to increase my income. As I mentioned in my intro, relying on one source of income is not my cup of tea, even when I was working in my corporate job. Having multiple streams of income is a huge form of financial security for both self-employed people and salaried people because it gives you so many options. Right now, I have 4 main sources of income that I can rely on every month, and those are my budget templates, my custom budgets, one-on-one calls, and finally, Wealthsimple referrals, which consistently brings in money for me. Another huge one for me is sponsorships, but they are sporadic throughout the year, so it's not something that I budget for. Usually I get like a 50% deposit when I sign the contract, and then I get the remaining amount when I'm actually done all my deliverables. My immediate goal is to increase Etsy sales. I think I've sold like 10 templates versus almost 20,000 on my stand store. So I need to do some research there to figure out how I can best use that website to convert more sales. When it comes to exploring ways to increase your income, there are two main options: active versus passive income. Active income is when you're actually trading your time for money. And the most powerful one, in my opinion, is passive income, where you're generating income without having to trade your time. I have three passive income streams right now: my budget templates, Wealthsimple referrals, and Amazon affiliate income. Examples of passive income could be rental income, selling online courses and digital products, creating an online presence so you can make money off of views, affiliate links, subscriptions, etc. Interest from savings and investment income would also be passive, but you don't really want to touch this, so you can let it compound and grow even faster. Immediate ways to increase your income right away is through the active form, where you'd get a second job, you could tutor, get freelance clients, etc. This is something I would do right away if I had to pay off debt. The fourth money move that I'm making is investing like normal. Like I said earlier, I'm prioritizing my emergency fund, but that does not mean I'm going to stop investing. I'm just investing a little bit less right now. The market as of late has been slightly shaky if you've been keeping an eye on your portfolio, but I don't really care. A few years ago, I think it was 2021. No, I'm pretty sure it was 2022, but my portfolio was down about 15 to 20%. But after that, my portfolio has been up between 15 to 30% annually. Now we're seeing some moves again where things are going down. This is just how the stock market works. This is the name of the game when it comes to the stock market. And if you're investing in the long run, these downs should not bother you because it will bounce back if you look at historical data. Of course, historical data doesn't guarantee future returns, but this is why it's so important to have a diversified portfolio that covers you across multiple sectors in the stock market. Some people panic sell their shares, but this generally will just hurt your returns in the long run. Just keep this in mind. I would encourage you to look at your portfolio, see which stocks or ETFs you hold, and look at their historical performances. This should alleviate any stress you may have. You just gotta zoom out a bit. I personally invest using the dollar cost averaging method. This means I invest in regular intervals, which is monthly or twice a month for me, regardless of the market conditions. Essentially, I don't care what the market is doing, and I will continue to invest no matter what. This method ensures I'm investing regularly and consistently, which is going to help me in the long run. If you're new to investing, remember that a lot of people unfortunately panic during economic uncertainty. Don't be one of those people, because historically, markets will recover. You want to remove emotional decision-making as much as you can from investing and focus on the long term. If huge fluctuations make you nervous, look at lowering your risk level so you have a larger allocation towards safer investments like bonds, cash versus ETFs and stocks. Next up, large purchases. I'm holding off on non-essential big ticket items this year, except for, like I mentioned, our wedding, which we've already saved for, and our honeymoon. I value financial flexibility over having financial pressure any day. So this is the year where I'm going to just chill a little bit on my extra spending, because I'd rather use those funds again to boost my emergency fund. As an example, when it comes to things I'm delaying, there's one huge one, and that is renting out an office space. I would love nothing more than to have an office space I can go to that and work from once in a while. But not only that, I want to have my podcast filmed eventually, which means I need a setup. Yes, I could potentially have it filmed in my home, sure, but honestly, the chaos of putting that together every time kind of stresses me out, and I don't like chaos in my home, and I know it would just not be a good solution. So for now, I'm just going to keep podcasting using audio, but once I'm ready to take that next leap and rent out a space, I can't wait to have this on video too. Especially when I start bringing in guests, it'll be so much nicer to have the option to watch this in a video form too. So this is an example of a sacrifice I'm willing to make. It's a total want and not necessary right now, and I don't want to add more expenses to my plate. Another big expense is that we would love to get Frederick, our dog, a sister, another French bulldog, just to clarify. But the first year is so expensive. With the initial purchase and all the first year vet visits, it's about $10,000. I need my emergency fund set at 6 months before that happens. I also would like to get one extra source of income consistently coming in. And my fiance also has his own list of things that need to happen before we decide to expand our puppy family. Questions to ask before making big purchases is that if it's a need or a want. This should be pretty straightforward. Secondly, ask yourself if you can afford this large purchase without it impacting your savings or investment contributions. And finally, can it be delayed for another 6 months or even 12 months and see if this is something that you really want or if you've gotten yourself into a better situation then. It's important to note here that there will be times and things that might make sense to buy anyway. If it's an investment in your future, like a course or tech gear that you need in order to increase your income, this could make a lot of sense. Perhaps your current car is falling apart and you need a new one because it gets you to work. This would make sense too. Finally, if it will genuinely improve the quality of your life, which will positively impact you, like your physical and mental health or your living situation, just remember to think about these large purchases and how they impact your life. The sixth move and tip is staying on top of your budgeting and spending. Thankfully, this is easy for me because I've been doing this for years. But if this is something that you've struggled with, now is the time to really get back on track. Economic uncertainties means unpredictable expenses like inflation, which affects all of our necessities that we need on a monthly basis. Budgeting will give you the control and overview you need over your finances instead of feeling reactive and figuring it out later. I have some tips for budgeting if this is something that you struggle with, whether you use my template or your own system. First, I budget for the next month ahead at the end of this month. So for my April budget, for example, I'll create it at the end of March. This way, I can pretty accurately budget based on my estimated plans and things that are happening in my life. Secondly, I track all of my variable spending weekly. This way, it doesn't pile up and it only takes me about 5 to 10 minutes to do. What I also like about tracking my spending weekly is I can see how I'm doing so far for the month, so I can adjust my spending if I have to stay on budget. I personally just have a note on my phone, and then each time I spend money, I put it into my note. And then at the end of the week, I just copy over all of these transactions into my budget sheet. To make budgeting a part of your life, I would encourage you to automate your savings and bills so you don't even have to think about them. Do money check-ins weekly instead of waiting at the end of the month to see what's going on. And finally, adjust your budget based on your reality. You have to make the budget realistic. Don't force yourself to fail. Budgeting is really about being aware and what's going on and making adjustments if necessary. My final tip for smart money moves is to pay off high interest debt ASAP. Thankfully, I got out of debt years ago so I can focus on the first six steps, but I've been here and it's important to mention. High interest debt has always been important to prioritize, but I think during uncertain times, it's even more important. If the economy slows down or things get more expensive, people with credit card debt, payday loans, or high line of credit, they're generally the ones who will be the hit the most because it's easy for those debts to grow even faster. If this is you, I would encourage you to listen to my previous episode because this is an entire episode dedicated to paying off debt, so I won't go into too much detail here. Besides the obvious financial reasons why you would prioritize debt, it's also the emotional toll of it all. Debt gave me so much stress and the anxious feelings that came with it, and it never seemed to go away. If this is you, don't panic. Just focus on a plan to get this taken care of. It may mean making some serious sacrifices, but on the other hand, when you're out of it, it means that you'll regain control, you'll have the freedom to save, invest, and live life on your own terms. Before we wrap up today's episode, I want to leave you with this. Financial uncertainty doesn't mean you have to be powerless. These smart money moves are about taking control, being prepared, and making intentional choices. You don't have to do all of these at once, but hopefully it'll give you some inspiration on where to start. Just do what makes sense for you. To recap, the seven smart money moves are as follows. Boosting my emergency fund. Limiting wants spending, exploring ways to increase income, investing like normal, delaying big ticket purchases, staying on top of my monthly budget and spending, and finally, I chatted quickly about the importance of paying off high interest debts for those who are. If you found this episode helpful, I would love for you to share this with a friend who you think might enjoy it. The more we talk about money, the easier it'll get for everyone. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode, and don't forget to follow and rate the podcast if you're enjoying it. I'll see you next week. Bye.